was called to go into a country where he didn't know where he was going, and he just trusted God and went by faith, and God led him. As we face the new year, that is so important, that we have faith to move into an unknown territory of the year 2010. But we also need to take responsibility, and my next message today is about that. And I've chosen Joshua. Actually, I've been having quiet times through the book of Genesis and looking at the life of Joseph, and I really wish I had have chosen Joseph, because he would have been a really good also an example of taking responsibility. But it doesn't matter. Let's look at Joshua, because Joshua has was given a great responsibility of leading his people, and we'll learn from his story, I'm sure. This week we saw on the news, or heard, that the US President Barack Obama, when he was speaking at a media conference at the White House, talked about the Christmas Day attempt to bomb a plane going from Holland across to USA. And he said, ultimately, he said, the buck stops with me. When the system fails, it is my responsibility. He was a leader who took upon himself the responsibility of security of his people and his nation, and verbalized it in that interview. Responsibility is a burden of obligation or duty. We have social responsibilities. We have moral responsibilities. We talk about legal responsibilities. We have marriage responsibilities, parental responsibilities. Everything we do in life, there are responsibilities. I'm going to ask that we turn to God's Word and read in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to ask Marg to come and read that passage. Please, if you could do that now.
Starting from verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Mike. The whole idea of leadership is married very closely to responsibility. Whatever area of leadership or any role has its responsibility, put it that way. Some time ago in King's County Hospital in USA, we saw it again on the news. It was made a big thing of because a woman came into the waiting room to see a doctor. She was obviously in distress, very unwell, and she ended up dying because no one took responsibility for her. Even one or two doctors came out and saw her in the state that she was in and walked back out, and there was a huge to-do about it because of people not taking on a responsibility for that person. A new boss walked into the office, and he looked around and he saw a guy lounging on his chair with his feet up on the desk and doing nothing. At the same time, the phone on the very desk was ringing, and he didn't lift his finger to a hand to answer it. And he went over and he said, "What's the story? Why aren't you answering the phone?" He said, "Well, I'm just dropping in here. I'm really working for maintenance. It's not my responsibility." And he said, "Well, you're not working for maintenance anymore." He got the boot. We have responsibilities, and these responsibilities are what, as a church community, we need to be aware of. I was just last week, I was out in the car park, and I saw a couple of tinnies that were empty and just crushed on the side of the car park, and a bit of rubbish here and there. And I began walking away thinking, well, that's not my responsibility. And I thought, no, it is my responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility within a church community when we see something that needs to be done. And we can very easily shelve things and say, no, that is not my responsibility. We can look at things like helping in practical ways around the church. As we embrace this year as a church, we have got so much to do. And there are so many little things, and we so often can be tempted to shovel it off to somebody else and say, oh, look, Ken looks after all the maintenance things in the church and one or two others who help him, but just leave that to him, when we could actually do it ourselves and save him, because he's always down here doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? We can so easily not take on the sense of responsibility within a church community. Or pick up the phone. We know somebody who's discouraged or hasn't been at church for a couple of weeks. And pick up the phone and ring them and say, hey, how you going? Oh no, that's the pastoral team's responsibility. Or the pastoral staff. Or the elders or whatever. No, it's your responsibility as much as anyone else. We all share in fellowship. Fellowship is one of our responsibilities as a church. And so part of fellowship is sharing in that way. Or visiting someone or having a coffee with them or praying for people. It is your responsibility, it is mine, to pray for one another. With every role comes a responsibility or more. And of course, fulfilling our ministry roles and responsibilities. One of the greatest joys in Christian ministry is to have people who actually fulfill their responsibilities so well you can just leave it with them. You don't have to worry about it. It's in their hands, and we know it's capable and it will be done. They will be faithful. They will be trustworthy. They'll do what is their responsibility. One of the biggest frustrations in Christian work is to have people who put up their hand. Volunteers, they're not paid. You're not paid. Most in the church are not paid for any role or responsibility that you have in the church. But sort of wander along when they feel like it and do what they want to do and then don't do what they don't want to do. And so people are frustrated who are leaders within church ministry sometimes by people who fail to take on seriously the responsibilities they are given or they choose to do. We all need to be so aware of this vital area of taking seriously the responsibilities in the church community. And as we face 2010 or 2010, as we call it, I want to ask you to ask this question of yourself. What are my responsibilities before God? Just pause a minute and think about that question. Ask yourself, what are my responsibilities before God? In my life, my responsibility to grow in godliness, my responsibilities to be involved in worship, not necessarily leading, I'm talking about just worship. My responsibilities to be involved in ministry and mission. Joshua was chosen by God to be a leader of God's people after Moses, after the great man Moses. We heard about his beginning. Well, Moses grew up to be a great leader of God's people and one of the greatest men of the Bible. And to follow in his footsteps, big shoes to fill, as we say, Joshua was chosen to take that place. And so he sensed very keenly his sense of responsibility Joshua did. And that's why God said to him three times in this chapter, don't be discouraged. He said, be strong and courageous, and encouraged Joshua to take on the role and the responsibility he was given. I want to see three things about responsibility as we see it in the life of Joshua. First of all, he was obviously prepared by God for his responsibility. He learned, first of all, responsibility. It's not in the Bible, but it's obvious as a child and as a young youth growing up. Because when we first encounter Joshua, he is the first time we find that he was chosen to be a servant, a young man, to be the actual servant who was very close to Moses and walked with Moses and helped Moses and ran for Moses and did his errands and was able to be given that responsibility just as a young man, as a young teenager probably. So it is obvious he didn't just suddenly become that. There is a period of time prior to coming to that where there is a development of a sense of responsibility. And I remember last year talking about parenting, and one of the key factors in parenting is to teach our children to take responsibility and to build that into their lives, inculcate it into them, so that when they become teenagers and older, they are responsible people in our community and in the church. He must have had parental training. I remember my father so often gave us things to do and left us and trusted us with them when we were kids. And by doing that, he did the same thing. He inculcated into us that sense of responsibility. And so we were entrusted with things. Sometimes we messed up. Sometimes we failed. We learned through that. He taught us through that. But we grew with that sense of responsibility, and that stays with you right through life. Secondly, he learned responsibility by being a servant under God's chosen leader. First of all, he was faithful. I want you to hear this from Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, where it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide or servant, Joshua, did not leave the tent. As I've been reading in the story of Joseph, remember he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar trusted him so much that he didn't even bother with what Joseph had responsibility for, because he knew that Joseph would fulfill his responsibilities. And when he was unjustly accused, Joseph was put into prison. And immediately the same thing happened, that the prison warden realized that this man, Joseph, was very responsible and trustworthy, so he gave him charge of all the prison activities and left it with him. He didn't even bother checking, because he knew that he could trust Joseph. That is what we find. That is the kind of responsibility that God wants us to build into our lives, to be faithful men and women of God. And so this man Joshua, servant of Moses, would stay. He was responsible to look after the tent where Moses used to meet with God, and he would stay there and he wouldn't move. There'd be a footy game playing, he'd leave it, he's responsible. He would stay in the tent. There'd be others who are out around the campfire talking stories, interesting, amazing things that have happened. He would stay in the tent. It was his responsibility. He fulfilled his responsibility. Joshua, no wonder he was chosen to lead God's people when Moses passed on. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you have been faithful in little things, you will be faithful in larger ones, larger responsibilities. How are you fulfilling your responsibilities in the smaller things in the church? If that is a measure of your responsibility and your fulfillment and faithfulness to that, it will determine how much bigger things you were given. Not bigger in the sense of importance, because everything's important in the life of the church in serving God. God doesn't distinguish between certain things and other things that we do as being more important than each other. Some are more prominent, some are more critical to the life and to the glory of God and so on, but they're all just as important. But how are you fulfilling your area or areas of responsibility? You know, when I see a person in the church, and I see lots in this church, of people who faithfully, and you can trust them, just like with Joseph, you'll leave it with them because you know it's going to be done and done well. When I see that in a church, I say, I want to give that person more to do. I want to encourage them if they can handle it, because they're normally very busy people anyway. But that's the kind of person you want to give more responsibility to. It's the same with God. He wants you to be faithful in the small things so he can give you greater responsibility. He wants to give you greater responsibility. But how can he do it if you don't fulfill that faithfulness to what he does give you to do? Secondly, he was recognized, that is, he showed evidence in his life of being a godly man. So it says in Numbers chapter 27, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. And it says in Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, just before he is to pass on, he says, Joshua was full of the Spirit of wisdom. It was evidence in his life. The Spirit of God had taken hold of this man. He had given himself unreservedly to God. He was a servant of God in the truest sense. And Joshua, therefore, it was obvious that he was someone to be chosen for a more significant role. An anointed ministry. Anointed being Spirit-filled, Spirit-energized, Spirit-enabled, as a Spirit-anointed ministry flows from a Spirit-anointed life. When people see in your life the evidence of the Spirit of God changing and renewing and causing you to grow, then that is the actual basis upon which we can then encourage you to be involved in spiritual service, which would be anointed. Next, he was a man of faith. He was given a new name. Do you realize that Joshua's name was Hoshua? H-O-S-U-A. That's the way you'd phonetically say it in English. And Moses chose to change his name and put J-E at the beginning, which is the word for Jehovah God. The word Hoshua means salvation. He was born and his father and mother called him Hoshua, salvation. Maybe because he was born into the slavery of Egypt that we've just been hearing about. He was one of those boys growing up in Egypt at the time of their slavery. Salvation! We want him! We want freedom! But this man was a man of faith, and Moses recognized that, and Moses changed his name to Joshua, which actually in Hebrew is the same word that in Greek we would call, and they did call Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Jehovah saves. It's the same word. Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New. He was a man of faith. It says, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt will see the land, said Moses, except Caleb and Joshua, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What's that about? Just before they were about to enter into the land, the first time when the opportunity came, when they first left Egypt, a leader from each tribe was chosen, and they went in as spies and as to do a reconnoiter and check it out and come back. And of all those, there were 12, of course, and 10 of those spies came back and said, oh, look, it's huge mountainous sort of walls around cities and big men, and they're fighting fit and they're strong, and it's a wonderful land, but But Caleb and Joshua, they said, yes, it is a wonderful land, and yes, there are mighty men and great cities that are walled up, but God is able. He was a man of faith. How do you face the new year? And maybe God would have you, maybe you've got a stirring in your spirit to actually get involved in serving the Lord in some way in the ministry of the life of this church or elsewhere. And you feel it's a bit daunting. How can I take on that responsibility? Be a man of faith, be a woman of faith, and say, God, I know the mountains are high, that the walled cities are huge to conquer, and the mighty fighting men, as it were, as Joshua saw, I know the difficulty and almost impossibility of doing that, but I'm willing to trust you. Be a man, a woman of faith in embracing this year of service. Everyone at the time of Jesus had the opportunity to be as close to Jesus as Peter and James and John. And of those three, John was the nearest. There wasn't any discrimination. Any single person at the time of Christ could have got as close to Jesus and to be intimately involved as a disciple with the Lord Jesus as any one of those disciples. Anyone at the time of Moses, of all the people of Israel, could have been a Joshua. God doesn't discriminate, but he looks for people who are faithful. He looks for people who are recognized to be walking with him in the Spirit and anointed life. And he looks for people who are men and women of faith. And he then chooses them and puts them into greater and greater responsibilities. And so any one of us can be a Joshua. Next, he learned responsibility by being a soldier in God's army. And the first activity of Joshua in leadership we see in Exodus 17, where Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go and fight the Amalekites. And Moses went up with her and Aaron and up onto the hill, and they prayed. And as they prayed, Joshua with his men were fighting the Amalekites. And it says Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. God gave him that responsibility, and he proved himself. Of course, God did it because of prayer. That's the whole point of Christian ministry, isn't it? That God does it, and if God does it, we cannot take any glory. Joshua can't take glory for himself. Aaron and her and Moses were up there praying. And when they stopped praying, when his arms got weary, the Amalekites were winning. When he went back to praying, or symbolic of praying, the Amalekites were pushed back, and Joshua and his men won the battle. Finally, he was encouraged to take responsibility by God. He was encouraged by God to take responsibility. That's the verses that we've been reading. Joshua needed encouragement, obviously. I mean, three times God himself says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I'm with you. I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. I'll be with you. He encourages him. Do you realize, if you read at the back of Deuteronomy, Moses had said the very same words to Joshua. So Moses had said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. You know, God will be with you. You can do it. Now God says to him personally, yes, be strong and courageous. You can do it. We need that kind of encouragement, don't we, from God? When we see the impossibility of the work, there's great power in encouragement. Howard Hendricks, I told this story before, I'll tell it again just quickly, that Howard Hendricks was a pretty bad pupil at school and gave a lot of trouble as a young kid. And at the end of the year, he finished up and came back the next year, and the new teacher pulled him aside and said, do you know, Howard, I've heard all about you. Yeah, you've been, the people are telling me that you've been a little bit of a rebel in the school and you don't do what you're told. But this new teacher said, look, I just don't believe it. I can't believe that of you. You're a good boy, aren't you? And Howard Hendricks says that at that point, instead of being labelled and sort of locked into his bad behaviour, suddenly realised there was someone who believed that he could be good, and so wanted to please that new teacher, and he was good. And a different year altogether, by a word of encouragement. God gave him promises. And they're the same promises that God gave Moses when Moses started out, right back at the beginning of Moses' ministry. In Deuteronomy 1, we read, see, the Lord your God has given you the land. Sorry, that's not the the passage that where Moses was encouraged. But God encouraged Moses in the same way as he encouraged now Joshua. And then Moses had already said to Joshua these same words, and so God's promises were reinforced by God. Now we see, secondly, that God gave him positive inspiration. And God encouraged this man who was relatively young and sensed his absolute weakness and inability. He encouraged him, and that was what resulted in Joshua taking up his responsibility and leading the people into the land. Finally, God enabled him. It was an impossible task. And if you read through the book of Joshua, you'll find that there were times when the sun stood still, when the walls of Jericho incredibly fell at the shout. God had a way of being involved in bringing down those walls, but he used the army and their obedience to him to enable that to happen. It was God and his people working together to break through and to win the battles. And in 7 short years, they took the whole land and established themselves there in that land. God needed to encourage this man, and when he was encouraged, he stepped out in faith, and God was with him and proved his words to him. As we face this year, I've got up here, God has been preparing you for what? Just like he prepared Joshua, what is it this year that he's been preparing you for in your previous year and previous history? God is encouraging you. What is he encouraging you? How is he encouraging you? And God will enable you. I encourage you to take what God gives you to do, what responsibilities, whether they are tasks that you choose or you're invited and asked to be involved in, be it a roster helping in the kitchen or involved in children's ministry or youth or whatever it might be that you're involved in, playgroup, and take it faithfully and completely commit yourself to doing that as a responsibility that you've been given by God. But then the broader sense of responsibility of being part of a fellowship, of sharing in caring for one another and loving one another and supporting and building one another up and so on, and everything else that we're involved in as a church. I want you to take it seriously, your sense of responsibility under God, because it's to him that you're accountable, not to me, not to the church, to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your servant Joshua was a great example of a man who from his heritage and his home and family was a nobody in the world, but because he chose to be faithful and a man of faith and commitment to you, was raised up by you to be the leader of your people, and despite his apprehension, needed encouragement from you time and again, that he took up that responsibility and you blessed him and used him in that. We thank you for him and thank you for the example he is before us. Help us to follow that example as we do of Jesus Christ himself. Amen.